Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. I was not planning on this, but this morning as I began to preach this, I thought that, well, you know, we just need to keep at it. I'm going to give a precursor to this. Anytime you preach on Satan or darkness, there's always something going to go on. There's always some way the father of darkness tries to roadblock, tries to do some things to you or to people to keep them from listening, and so that we would be abreast of what's going on. The Bible says we ought to know the works of the devil. We ought to know that, and we ought to understand that. We understand why things happen, weird, queer things happen to us. And we just kind of like, phew. This morning I said this, and all of a sudden the lights went down a little bit. I noticed that people kind of went there. I seen some kids making noise and certain things, and that's just a normal thing. And so I want to understand that we are fighting a good fight, and we are serving God the way we should do. Stay with it. Don't give up. Few churches like this, the folks sat here and says, we have been looking for a church, I forget how long, because their church music went crazy and some other things went crazy in their church. And they said, we just want a church that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and their music and their preaching and the Word of God, using the right Bible and so on and so forth. We are fortunate. But I will tell you something, though we're fortunate, we're in a battle. And we'll always be in a battle. There'll be people that'll get disgusted. There'll be people that will just want to do nothing about it, and they'll cause you a problem and on. But you know what? It's worth it. It's not in vain, Brother Jonah. What a wonderful song tonight you sang, and it's not in vain. You just serve God. You parents, you keep bringing your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you stand. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of, talk to me, His might, not ours, but His. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That must be important because he told us that in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. And then he says it again. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, thank God for that, we're able to do it, able to withstand in the evil day. Is today evil? And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next two words. What's above all mean? That's a priority. What else? Number one. What else? Above all. It's the most important thing. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. I was talking to Brother Rick tonight. We were sitting at my office for a moment, and I don't get much chance to do that, but it was fun to sit with him and talk with him a little bit. I told him, I said, you know, when a person gets saved, you're saved by faith, but when a person gets saved, they don't have much faith. They have not gone through some things that teach them that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So they get pretty scared when things happen, all right? There's a lot of things happening in our life that some of us old codgers, we've seen it before and said, that's nothing. It'll be taken care of. But young Christian, it'll almost destroy them. So that's why he says, above all, taking the seal of faith, hey, remember what happened here? Hey, God took care of it. Remember? Hey, listen, I've been pastoring this church 33 years. That's a long time to pastor a church. Dr. Howes told me when he was 70, he said, Brother Sheeran, he's talking to some of his pastors, he said, you know, I thought when I got to be 55 years old, I would make a science of all the problems that happened in churches. And he was a brilliant man. And this is what he said. But I found out that at least once every week, something comes into my life that I have never faced before. And I have got to go to my knees and I've got to go to the Word of God and figure out how to fix that thing. That discouraged me. I didn't want to hear it. I thought, hey, you know, I get about 60. Hey, everything's cool, you know. No. So above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of them, all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see fiery darts of the wicked? Think people throw things at you, amen? Huh? Nah, you don't have that problem. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Holy Spirit of God, would you do your work tonight? I ask you, Lord God, we need your help. And any time we come into something like this, we know that we were going to be bombarded by the fiery darts of the devil. He's going to try everything he can to destroy us. Lord, we want to raise your name high. We want this place to be a guiding light in this area. Lord, come Friday, it's going to be a beacon light to a bunch of ladies who may save their marriage because this may save their marriage. This may help their church. This may encourage them. And so, Lord God, thank you for the privilege that we can have them here. And, Lord, I pray for our families and our church. Lord, we would stand clear and stay clear, and we would stand for the faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul says, it's not that I'm going against you and you're going against me. That is not the battle. We need to learn who we're supposed to battle in this life. It'd be a stupid thing if we thought somebody was against us or something like that. We're fighting them, and they weren't the ones that were against us. Wouldn't that be a waste of time? And wouldn't that hurt a lot of things? We're not fighting against each other. Good night. We're trying to do something for God. There I know of three good churches in Great Falls here. Fairview Baptist Church, and their building. Every time I go by their building, I pray God that God will bless them over there. Temple Baptist Church, great pastor over there, good people over there. I pray for them. Every time I go by their place, I pray for them. I'm not in a battle with Fairview, and I'm not a battle with Temple Baptist. In fact, they got a lot of our people over there. Praise the Lord. Good for them. That's good. That's okay. We just have a responsibility here to keep this place going, and that's what God's called us to do. There's a difference between a burden and a call. I'm burdened for all the churches in this town, but I'm called to Heritage Baptist Church. You should be burdened for all the churches that stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you should be faithful to the call that God has called you to Heritage Baptist Church. So against that, the kingdom of the Redeemer was to be set up. That was to be overcome the spiritual weapons which he specifically gives us in the Word of God. When he speaks of the Christian warfare here, he refers to a contest with the powers of the dark kingdom. He regards each and every Christian as a soldier. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. I know there's some men in this church, you are soldiers of the United States Air Force. Some are in the Army. Some are in the Navy. Some are in the Marines. Well, bless your heart. And I'm glad for you. But I will tell you right now, you're looking at a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I go into battle all the time, and so do you if you're a Christian. As a soldier, we wage war on it, and whatever way we could and whatever way we can attack it, we're to attack it. The contest, therefore, was not primarily with people or with internal corruption tendency in the soul. And by the way, we have a lot of that, amen? Eternal tendency of our soul. We have a lot of problem with that. It was with the vast dark kingdom that has been set up over mankind. It is warfare. It's large scale with the entire kingdom of darkness over the world. The warfare, the struggle will be such proportion of the kingdom that we come in contact with and actually relate. You and I know there's a battle going on out in this world. To our own sinful tendency, which is part of the kingdom of darkness, I have a tendency to darkness. So do you. Don't look at me with your hypocritical eyes. You are a sinner saved by grace. All of us are sinners. All of us. There's not a person in this room here or in this world that's not a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So, our own sinful tendency, which are a part of the kingdom of darkness, with the evil passions of others, and pride, and ambition, and spirit of revenge, which are also part of the kingdom. You ever see somebody that has revenge, wants to have revenge on you, and you're going like, whoa, what are you doing to me? I didn't do that. Oh, I don't care. What kind of power are they under? Look at our world with our evil customs and laws and opinions and employments, pleasures of the world, which are also part of the dark kingdom. I noticed that, I forget what bar it was, up kind of by soccer or something, they were praising them for 100 years of selling booze. Front page! The Bible says you're a fool if you give another man something to drink. And there's a lot more to it, amen. We have people with error and superstition and false doctrine who are also a part of the kingdom. Look at these false cults in this world that are out there trying to gain as much as they can of people. Instead of telling of the sweet, sweet story of peace and joy of Jesus Christ, who will forgive us our sins and cleanse our hearts from error. With the wickedness of pagan world, the sin of benighted nations, also part of the kingdom. Whenever we come in contact with evil, whether in our heart or elsewhere, there we are to make war. And that's why he keeps saying, stand. I'm not going that way. I'm standing. No way, I'm not going that way. Then he says, against spiritual wickedness. You could actually say wicked spirits. Literally, the spiritual things of wickedness, illusions, are undoubtedly from evil spirits and their influence the world. You'll hear people, I know that one time I was down in the Dominican Republic and we ran into an area that had voodoo, very strong voodoo. And literally, the magic things that were going on there, man, it'd make your hair raise up on your neck. You go to Nepal, go to Dubai Square, man, I'll tell you, that's the spookiest place I know. Crazy things happen. I was up on that stupa taking videos, and my camera went crazy. Remember that? Just brand new camera, brand new video camera. The Bible says in high places, celestial, heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In chapter 2 and verse 6, then, he comes back and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It just means those who dwell in heaven. And then if you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, and the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. Why? Why would a child of God change? Why would a child of God what's going on? Well, I don't know about you, but I've seen people that once walked with God, and they got a hiccup, or they got upset about some stupid thing that they couldn't change, or they thought was quote-unquote unjust, and they quit, and they drag. They go out, and their wife goes out, and their kids go out, and all of a sudden, and brother, I'll tell you what, every one of you, listen to me now. Are you listening to me? Every one of you are one step away from this church door. Every step you take. Right, let me ask you a question. Do we preach the Bible here? The whole counsel of God? Do we have the right kind of music? Do we sing the right kind of songs? Is our church a soul winning church? Do we applaud those who get saved? Do we applaud those that come out of the world and come to God? Now, what in the fire are you leaving the church for? Why are you upset? I'll tell you why I'm upset. We have a world that's infested by darkness. And we are so susceptible to little things that we make the mountain out of the molehill. And instead of applauding someone get saved, we say, yeah, I wonder how long they'll last. Or instead of seeing someone who's in trouble, go over and help them, we start talking about them. Tell me where that comes from. The ruler of darkness. Children of disobedience. The evil spirits are supposed to occupy of lofty regions of the air and thence exert a baleful influence on affairs of people. Do you believe that? Boy, I tell you, you see the influence that we have today. I heard somebody say, I don't like coming to Harry's Baptist Church because they have a dress code. Hey, tell me, I have not heard a dress code at Harry's Baptist Church, have you? No, bless God, you come here in shorts and a tank top, you ain't getting up on this pulpit because this is my pulpit. And this is my platform. 33 years ago, I told them, fellas, you want me to come to preach, to be their pastor, this is going to be my platform. I will have whoever I want preach on this platform and sing on this platform. Now, if you want to fire me, fire me. But as long as I'm called a pastor, this is mine up here. I would rather you dressed and looked appropriate. If I want to see the president, I would dress up. I fly on an airplane. This is what I fly with. When I first flew on an airplane, someone told me, the stewardess said to me, he says, you really look nice. And so I thought, man, maybe I ought to look nice. You say, preacher, you fly that? Yeah, 44 hours. 44 hours from Nepal. You don't believe it? Ask Mrs. Shortes. Did I wear a suit? I take the suit coat off, but I have a tie. I loosen it up. You know, I represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not going to look like a slob. I see people getting on airplanes now with pajama bottoms on. How are you kidding me? But, by the way, there's no dress code at Heritage Baptist Church. Now, if you're a leader of this, leader in this church, we have leadership qualifications. I don't see any of you guys bucking the fact that they tell you to put your uniform on and go out to the base. In fact, some of you dress better in the base, you dress at church. But that's your point. Hey, good for you. I'm just glad you're here. But if you're going to work here, you're going to play a piano, play an organ, sing, we'll ask you to dress up because we think it's appropriate to look right at God's house. You can come in with a bikini on. I don't care. I'll give you my coat. Could it be embarrassment to me? Maybe not embarrassment to you, embarrassment to me. I'll give you my coat and say, hey, here, better keep warm. But Satan has a way of keeping people out of church. I saw a buffoon who calls himself a pastor rip everything about dressing appropriately in church. And somebody put it on their Facebook deal. And I looked at it. I was so ticked off. I want to look Lord. I want to look good for the Lord. But you come, I don't care how you come. You can come in your blue jeans, you can come in your pants, you can come whatever. I'm just glad you're here. And because tonight I'm using this, I'm just telling you that Satan will even use that to keep you out of church. I was told when I was a kid, you act like you dress. It is against such spirits that all their malignant influence that we Christians are called to contend for. In whatever way their power is put forth, whatever their prevalence of vice, error, superstition, magic art, infidelity, atheism, non-normalism, Christian, that means Christians doubting the force of laws, or flexible concept of morality, or evil customs and law, or pernicious fashions causing serious harm, destruction, or death, or their opinions, or their corruption of their own heart, we are to make war on all those forms of evil, never to yield in that conflict. We're to stand strong. Hey, he said, stand. I say, stand. He said, but preacher, that's not the way it is today. I didn't know my Bible changed. There's so many Bibles out there now, I suspect it is changed, but it hadn't changed by the old King James Bible. The old authorized version that every church back in the 1600s said, this is the Bible that we all will stand with. Sooner or later, every Christian believer discovers that their life is a battleground, not a playground, and that he faces the enemy who is much stronger than he is, and here is the catcher, apart from the Lord. When you draw away from the Lord, I notice people that they draw away. They stop coming to church on Sunday night. They stop coming on Wednesday night. And they're drawing away. Let me tell you something. You are an easy mark for that old devil. You're an easy mark. You need to be here. You need to get your hide skinned once in a while. You need to get your foot stomped on. You need to feel uncomfortable. I've heard people say, well, pastor, you intimidate me. Well, yeah. Because I'm an alpha male. I'm a man of God. I'm sure that people used to say about Elijah, boy, he intimidates me. He just happened to go kill 450 Baal worshippers, priests. My dad intimidated me too. When I wasn't doing right. When I had something that was wrong in my heart and my life, my dad really intimidated. By the way, my little 4'11" mama intimidated me too. I was 6'2", 210 pounds, hitting 220 pounds, and that little woman intimidated me. You ought to intimidate your boys to do right. My boys was never afraid of me when I put my hand up like this. Never. You see, he didn't jump away either. I'm not going to hurt him. If you knew the heart of your pastor, and you knew the hours at night, in early morning, I pray and beg God for you. If you only knew. That's why Paul the Apostle said, know them that labor among you. Check it out. See who they are. I'm going to tell you something. I want a shepherd to intimidate the wolves and the bear and the lion. Who do you want me to be, a sissy? Walk around? It ain't going to happen. When I was born, my daddy says, boy, you look like a boy. You never did look like a sissy girl. My little sister for 2 years didn't have hair. She looked like a little girl. There's no question about what she looked like. Amen. You ought to be intimidated. You ought to be afraid that you would step over the line and go against the Word of God, because the Bible said, hey, obey them that have rule over you. That's still in the Bible if you haven't found that out. Salute them, the Bible says. In other words, come to attention. See, we have mealy-mouthed down our pastors and mealy-mouthed down our ministers in such a way that it's no big deal. But I'll tell you what, you better figure out what the Bible says. You mess with the preacher. You bring accusations against the preacher, you better have two or three. And by the way, there are some preachers that need two or three to come in and clean their clock. I agree with it. I'm for it. If a preacher is immoral, number one, he has no right to be in the ministry. He has lost his pulpit ability. If a man does something with another man's wife or another girl, he's done. Period. There's no question about it. You're done. But you better not mess with the man of God that's doing what he's supposed to do and begging God for everything he can for you. Hey, I walk away from this place. This is not mine. You know how much this week, this last couple of weeks, I'm hampered. I'm held back. I don't know how many times I came and I cried when I was leaving this building because I had to go take care of something. But I'll guarantee you, when this old preacher resigns or dies, everything that's done here is left here. My family doesn't get this. This is God's house. And you wonder why I'm so crazy about having Richard Howell here and cleaning up and fixing up. I want this place to look good for you. That makes a difference for me. I want you to be so proud of what God has given to you. You say, but we don't have much. Well, bless God, we got more than a lot of people do, and you ought to be thankful for it. And by the way, it's paid for. You ask Renee how I used to hound her and hound her and hound her about getting that, paying off this property. Where can we get some more? Where can we do? What do you? People say, oh, preacher, you always asking for money. No. You're wrong there. I want God's place. And I'll tell you where that comes from. That comes from the darkness. That comes from someone who will try everything he can. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the principality of power there. It's not people. Folks, it is Satan and his workers that are trying to keep everything away from here. Do you understand that? He said, I know who you're preaching about. You don't know what you're talking about. You stand before the Holy God for what you just, if you're accusing me of that. Paul uses the military term that illustrates the believer's conflict with Satan. He himself was chained by Roman soldiers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 28, it says, for I am ambassador in bonds. That's not talking stocks of bonds. He said he was in bonds. Literally, he was handcuffed and shackled. And his readers were very familiar with soldiers and equipment of that day. And the fact the military illustration was one of Paul's his favorites. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. Fight the good fight of faith, he said. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As Christians, we face three enemies. Listen now, if you're taking them down, write it. Number one, we face the world. Secondly, we face the flesh. And third, we face the devil. There are three things that you and I face every day. World, flesh, and the devil. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. First of all, the world. World refers to the system around us that opposes God. You think our world opposes God? Good night. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Society apart from God is a simple but accurate definition of the world. Away from God. The flesh. In our old nature, we inherited from Adam a nature that opposes God and can do nothing spiritually to please God. That's this old nature, this flesh of ours. It cannot please God. By his death and resurrection, Christ overcame the world and the flesh and the devil. In other words, as believers, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. According to God's word, victory is already ours. Hey, you got saved. You got victory. So he already won. The Spirit of God enables us by faith to appropriate Christ's victory for ourselves. Satan, in the name of blood of Jesus Christ, get out of here. He's already won. In these closing verses of this letter, Paul discusses four topics that his readers, by understanding, can apply these truths and walk in victory. I need to walk in victory. You do too. Hey, your kids are watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your kids are watching you. We need to walk in victory. We have to walk in victory. First of all, the enemy. The intelligence corps play a vital part in the warfare because it enables officers to know and understand the enemy. Is that correct? Unless we know who the enemy is and where he is and what he can do, it's pretty difficult to defeat him. Real difficult to defeat him. Not only in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 24, but throughout the whole Bible, God instructs us about the enemy and who he is. And there's no reason that we ought to be caught off guard. Secondly, their leader, the devil. The enemy has many different names. Devil means accuser. Because he accuses God's people day and night before the throne of God. Unfortunately, Satan does not have to tell a lie about most of us. He just comes in and says, hey, did you see what he did? Did you see what she did? Boy, God, you said it. Christ, you said it. He's a great Christian. And look at what they're doing. How embarrassing, eh? Satan also means adversary because he is the enemy of God. He's an adversary. He comes and he causes trouble. He stirs up things. He's called the tempter. He's called the murderer. He's called the liar. In fact, the father of lies. He's compared to as a lion, the serpent, the angel of light. He's also said he is the God of this world. Where did it come from? Where did this spirit creature come from to seek to oppose God and defeat his work? We believe that in the original creation, he was Lucifer, the son of the morning. In Isaiah chapter 14, he was cast down because of his pride and his desire to occupy God's throne. Many mysteries are connected with the origin of Satan, but what he is doing and where he is going, and certainly no mystery because we see his byproduct all over the place. Since he is created being and not eternal as God is, thank God he's limited in his knowledge and activity. You ought to say amen to that. He is not God. He is a created being. Therefore, he's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. And he's not everywhere at all times. Then how does he accomplish so much in so many different parts of the world? The answer is, he has some organized helpers. Satan's helpers, Paul called them principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. One man translated, "For our contest is not with human foes alone, but with rulers and authorities and cosmic powers of this dark world, that is, with the spiritual forces of evil challenging us in the heavenly contest." This suggests a definite army of demonic creatures that assist Satan in his attack against believers. The Apostle John hit it in the third, one-third of the angels fell at Satan when he rebelled against God. One-third. Daniel wrote that Satan's angels struggle against God's angels can control the affairs of the nation. You wonder why we have so much trouble. Hey. The spiritual battle is going on in this world and in the sphere of the heavenlies, and you and I are part of this battle. Knowing this makes walking in victory a virtual important thing for us and to God. God wants us to walk close to Him. The important point of this battle is not against human beings, it's against spiritual powers. And so many times we end up fighting our wife or fighting our husband, fighting our children, fighting our dads and mom, and it's not even about that. The important part of this battle is not against human beings, but spiritual powers. We are wasting our time fighting people, and when we ought to be fighting the devil who seeks to control people and make them oppose the work of God. I do not want to be a pawn of Satan. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Satan can't get into me because I have Christ, but I'll tell you what, he can certainly make me a pretty revolting development. Amen? During Paul's ministry at Ephesus, a riot took place that could have destroyed the church that he just started, in which caused only by Demetrius and his associates. For behind them was Satan and his associates. Why? He wanted to destroy the church. If Satan can destroy Heritage Baptist Church, he destroys a bunch of soul winners and destroys a bunch of souls who will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ unless we're out there doing it. You understand that? He destroys our bus ministry, and all of a sudden, who's going to bring those little boys and girls in here to church? Do you care? Or you just care about that little seat that you take on Sunday and you're just so happy you got a seat to sit down in. And it's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. I want you to talk about Satan's abilities. The admonition Paul gave to indicate that Satan is a strong enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks the cunning ways that Satan can destroy us, the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need the power of God to be able to stand against him. Never underestimate the power of Satan. He's not compared to a lion or a dragon just for fun. Do not underestimate the power of Satan. The book of Job tells us about his power. What he can do to that man's human body. What he did to his home. What he did with his wealth. What he did with his friends. It just proves that he has power. God said to Satan, Have you seen my Job? Yeah, he says, yeah, he'll skin for sin. He'll get skin for skin. He'll do anything for that. And then look what happened to Job. By the way, Christian friends, let me tell you something. God is a good God. And he will not forget your labor of love. Satan bombards me all the time. So what's it worth? He does the same thing to you. Don't look at me like a weirdo. Hey, he does the same thing to you. He's always saying to you, what's it worth? Look at all the trouble you go through. Hey, Mrs. Hobbs, Satan ever come to you when you're looking at working on our church checkbook and say, good night, here we go again? What do you want to do? Want to defeat us, destroy us? Hey, Mrs. Hobbs, if Heritage Baptist Church wasn't here and someone didn't, your mother-in-law didn't invite your little daughter to Vacation Bible School and get saved, I'm just let you know how important this church is to Mrs. Hobbs and to Brother Hobbs. And you came to this church wanting to know what in the world's going on here. What kind of rattlesnake people are they here? And she comes, and the power of God comes upon her heart because we're praying for her. And she walks down this aisle and gets saved. What happens to the Heritage Baptist Church one year? So every time you're working on the checkbook, you tell old stinking Satan, let me tell you something in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ. You get out of here because I was going to hell. I was an atheist. Hey, Brother Scott, you weren't doing so well yourself. You were out of church. You knew better than that. But the wickedness of Satan, the darkness kept you and blinded you what you should have been doing. Hey, I can point out all kinds of people out in this auditorium the same thing. Let me tell you, is it important that we stand to be soldiers of Jesus Christ? Is it important we say, yes, we're going to keep going? Are you going to get slapped in the face? Oh, yeah. You'll be doing good, you'll be doing things, and all of a sudden, whack, you get this junk in your life, and you say, what in the world do I deserve that? No, you won't. You'll say, God, I'm going to trust you in this because the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery stuff. You say, you know what? I've seen God. Hey, Renee, have we ever been financially in the hole as we are today before? We have. And something just happened and some way God just brought us out of it. Is that right? Well, you, because of faith, you remind Satan of that and just throw the checkbook out and say, hey, buddy, look at this. In the name of blood of Jesus Christ, he's taken care of us before and he'll take care of us again. That's above all. Taking the shield of faith. That's what it's about. I'm not helpless. And neither are you. And neither are you, and neither are you. You neither, but because above all, you take the shield of faith. Faith is not some stuff in the sky. Faith is we have seen it before and we trust God to see it again. Hey, you know what? Absent body, present with the Lord. If I die today, bless God. There's a time in my life I thought I was dying. I really did. And I was laying in bed. And I said, God, if that's what you want, I'm ready. God said, man, I don't need you up here. You cause too much trouble down there. I'm not afraid to die. Now, I'm going to try everything I can not to hurt my wife's husband. I'm going to try everything. I don't want my husband, I don't like my wife's husband to hurt. I'm going to try everything I can. I'll try to do the speed limit. I'll try to keep the seat belt on. I'll try to be careful where I go and what I eat. But bless God, if it's time, whoo, glory to God. Kick her in the ribs. I'm going home. The book of Job tells that Satan has the power, can have, if God allows him. And God, remember now, God says, don't you take his life. You know that? But don't you? Hey, I have a heavenly Father that loves me. I'm just a spoiled brat. God really takes care of me. And you can see what he does to man's body, see what he does to his home, see what he does to his wealth. You can see what he does to his friends. Jesus called Satan a thief. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Some of you have been on that end. Some of you were married and you were living for God and thought everything's good, and all of a sudden Satan came and use some kind of act of the flesh, and your husband or your wife was stolen from you because of immorality. When you separate and divorce, that's not of God. It's from the darkness and the darkest pit. Because if he can destroy the family, he can destroy everything. I know some of you have been through it, and God bless you. Not only is Satan strong, but he's also wise and he's subtle, and we are fighting against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means cunning and crafty arts and stratagems. The Christian cannot afford to be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. You ought to write that in the back of your Bible. You're not to be ignorant of his devices. Some people are cunning and crafty and lie and wait to deceive. Ephesians chapter 4. But behind them is the art deceiver Satan, the head masquerade of the angel of light, and seeks to blind men's mind with the truth of God's word that God has given to us. The fact that Paul uses the word wrestle indicates that it is a hand-to-hand battle and are not mere spectators of the game. We are in it. And you're in it. And don't tell me you're not in it. You will battle and battle and battle and battle until you hit heaven's door. Amen. So grit your teeth. Trust God. Above all, have that shield of faith. Satan wants to use our external enemy, the world, and our internal enemy, the flesh, to defeat us. His weapons, our battle plan, are formidable. The equipment, since we are fighting against the enemy of the spirit world, we need to special equipment, both the offense and defense. God has provided the whole armor for us, and we dare not omit one piece of it. Satan looks for the unguarded area where he can get a beachhead. He's looking. And some of you know where it's at. Some of you will not allow God to take that out of your life. You keep it. You got to keep watching the filth and immorality. You got to keep your eyes open to anything you can see, anything you can peek at. And he'll destroy you. He'll get you to desire things like money. If you lay money around, it's gone. He'll use the attitude of rebellion. And the Bible said rebellion is next to witchcraft. So if you've got a rebellious child in your home, they're practicing witchcraft in your house. Yes, they are. That's what the Bible says. And some of you ladies, if you're rebellious to your husband, that's what you're doing. You're a witch. So I don't like that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Hey, you guys, you're rebellious to your wife. Yes, you can be. Same thing. She may not like some things that you're doing. Good night. Isn't your relationship more important than things? Give it up! Paul commanded his readers to put on the armor, take the weapons, withstand Satan, and all which we do by what? Faith. Knowing that Christ has already conquered Satan, and that the spiritual power and the weapons are available by faith, we accept what God gives us and go out to meet the foe. The day is evil. Now, I think there's a person in this room who doesn't say that the day is not evil. This day is evil. Fern, when you were growing up, you never saw what you're seeing today. We're about the same age. We never saw stuff like that. Some of you young kids, you young parents, You're thinking this is the norm. I'm telling you something. This is not the norm. This is not what we grew up. I will not ask your age, but I'll tell you, anybody that's 60 years old and older, I'll tell you, this is not the United States that we grew up in. This is foreign. When you came to America when I was a kid, you put on American clothes. And you were thanking to God. And you would not speak your foreign language. You'd speak the English language. I tell you what, I would put out all my heart. That's part of the work of the devil. You said, but Pastor, I'm telling you, we're not in United Nations anymore. We're a group of different places and different people. That's part of the warfare that Paul the Apostle writes about here. He said, be girded with truth. And I close with this. Be girded with truth. Satan is a liar. But the believer whose life is controlled by the truth will defeat him. The girdle holds other parts of the armor together. Truth is the integrate force in the life of a victorious Christian. If we have to have truth, tell the truth. Don't tell a half-truth to get somebody in trouble. Don't tell a half-truth to make you sound good and another person sound bad. Tell the truth. Man of integrity with a clear conscience can face the enemy without fear. You hear me? Well, when I told the truth, my dad's going to give me a whooping. I said, no, Dad, that's what it is. Even if he whooped me, I knew down inside of me I had integrity that I told the truth. And some people will say bad things about you. You just keep doing the truth. You're not fighting against them. Leave it alone, Dwayne. Just leave it alone. I'll tell you about that later, brother. Amen. The girdle also held the sword. Unless we practice the truth, we cannot use the Word of God. Once you lie, that lie gets into your life of a believer, everything begins to fall apart. May I illustrate? For over a year, King David lied about his sin with Bathsheba. But I will tell you something, if you read the scriptures in Psalm 32 and also Psalm 51, nothing went right. He had to pay a price. And he did. Christian brothers and sisters and boys and girls, let me tell you something. He's real. And he's vicious. He wants to rip your head off. He wants to scar you. He wants to take you out of opportunities you could serve and put you in place you can't serve anymore. He wants to take you out of that toolbox of God and let you rust outside. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Yes, it is. It's worth to stand the truth. It's worth to say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I am going to give myself to God. I'm going to beg God to protect me with His blood. I'm going to ask Him to protect my wife or my husband. I'm going to ask Him to protect my children and my family and my friends and my church. Let me tell you something. This old church could be destroyed in a week. Be destroyed in a week. But I think we got some good soldiers at Heritage Baptist Church. I think that we got some people that are just say, well, that's for me and my house. We're going to serve God. I'm going to do what I can and do everything I can to keep salvaging this old boat, this old ship that's in battle all the time. I'm going to try everything I can as a pastor to keep it going. But I can't keep it going myself. It's God that keeps this place going. It's Jesus Christ. This is His house. This is His place. And by the way, you say, well, I'm going to do everything I can to keep this place going. Well, praise God. You need to do that too. Amen. It's all of us. All of us are important to God. God said there, He is not a respecter of person. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I'm not one of y'all. We all work together for the kingdom of God. It is not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and how God can be praised. That ought to be our heart. How can I better God's work? But I'll tell you something. If you begin to do some of the decisive things that the world tries to get you to do and Satan tries to do, well, you're really in trouble. Some of the things you're doing in your life, you ought to say, God, will you glorify this in my life? And if He says no, then get rid of it. Because Satan wants to destroy you. Because if he destroys you, he can destroy a whole bunch of people. Everyone has a little bit of influence in your life. You know that? And if you can destroy that person's influence, think of how many people you're going to destroy. I've seen churches that the influence was so great, and their pastor, it becomes immoral. And literally destroys all the work for years. I know a young lady, she married a man. Her daddy was a pastor. And her daddy had a great camping program, and hundreds of thousands of kids had come to there and got saved and called the ministry. But he screwed up. Guess what? They lost the camp. They lost the camp. Think of the influence that camp is not anymore. So you people had better realize that you're in a battle. And you better realize it's not just your preacher, it's everybody at this church that's in a battle. And we are trying everything we can to serve God in every way we can. I want to encourage you. I really do. I want to encourage you as your pastor. My wife's trying to encourage her. She understands what I'm talking about. You understand that? She understands what I'm talking about. That's why her heart is so full. Did you hear her say she hated the devil? Did you hear that? Yeah. She understands it. So it doesn't take a four-year-old not to understand it. You got that? Father, I beg you tonight, in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, that Satan would be banished from here. In the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, as imps of hell would stay away from it, we'd get something done around here. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to be the influence we should be. Dear God, it calls for all of us. We put our name down in that membership role. That's all of us. And that's who we are. Dear God, pray tonight that you'd help us. I know the time is late. Man, it's 7:45. I understand that. But I'd beg you to come down to this altar and just again say, Dear God, help me to do what I should do for what you want me to do in my life as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Play the piano, Nancy. Head to Bot Obstacles, you'd come. You know, this place is worth it to me. That's what you ought to say. This place is worth it to me. I want God's power upon this place. I want Satan to be away from this place. I want to see what God can do. Marcia. God, we come to you tonight. We ask you, Lord Jesus, as these folks are gathered here, you'd make us a strong church. The gates of hell could not prevail against it. You promised in the Bible it's your church. We're not here to gain fame. We're not here to be somebody. We're here to bring honor and glory to your name. Please, God, I pray that you would give us the strength that we may be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Lord, some cannot come because they're unable to physically. But God, they can pray. Do a great work in our hearts and our lives and help us to be so grateful for the years that God has given us this place that we can come and stand with you. Lord, equip us as soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we would walk close to the Word of God as we can. Lord, we're mortals. We still have this old sin in our hearts and our lives. God, help us to check it. Help us to be careful that we would walk close to you and stand close to you as we go about our business for you, Lord God. Please, I beg you, Lord God, that this would remain the lighthouse on the corner of 52nd and 10th Avenue North. People say, you know, one thing about that church, they really do believe in God. By faith, they've done everything by you. Lord, help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name.